listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we'll have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're talking about an issue today that might sound old, but it's brand new. It might be new, but it's as old as the Scripture. Jesus reminds us in John the 15th chapter, I'm going to skip through to just about one or two verses. Verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 20, the latter portion, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Lord Jesus speaking. But somehow, some way, Christians have come to feel that we're above persecution, prosecution, and some way being dissed by society. Some brand new things are taking place to show that that demon hate, the hatred of God's people, the hatred of Christians, the hatred of conservatives and patriots, and those that are the MAGA hat wearers in modern society, that seems to be promulgating out there more than most will recognize and realize. We're asking the question today, I'm making the statement, however you want to take it. Christians and conservatives, not allowed? Christians and conservatives. What if you drive, go into a shopping center and see a sign that says that on some store window? What if you'd go through a city or town and you stop to go to the bathroom and you find a sign that says over a bathroom door, Christian conservatives not allowed? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been quite some time ago. It would have been in my early childhood. That's less than 100 years ago. I'm told that cities, and both large and small, would have, it would not be unusual to see a sign that would read, colored, not allowed, or whites only. And some say, well, I've never seen a sign. I have. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that that was discrimination, and I'm thankful that laws have been passed that prevents that. So why is, if that's discrimination, and it was, why is it not considered discrimination when that happens to Christians and conservatives and patriots? Saying Christians are not allowed. Patriots are not allowed. Conservatives are not allowed. We've seen and heard for 10, 12 years now or better, where Christian bakers were persecuted and prosecuted for refusing to bake a sodomite cake, where Christian photographers were persecuted and prosecuted for not doing wedding photos of a sodomite wedding. Ladies and gentlemen, a lady in, I believe it's Colorado, might have been Colorado, California, a lady that was a florist, went through about 15 years of persecution, prosecution, went through the entire court system to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court reversed it back to the appeals court. The appeals court heard it again, climbed its way back to the Supreme Court, simply because she refused to do wedding flowers for sodomite weddings. That's persecution and prosecution of Christians. And you would think that, well, that's not happening today. Yes, it is. a very good example of it. We'll talk about it on the broadcast today. A Giants player, baseball player, pitcher, now being condemned, persecuted, prosecuted, wanting to be forced into paying a fine because he put a verse of scripture on his baseball cap rather than the LGBTQ sodomite symbol on his cap. We'll talk about that today. We'll also talk about the fact that there's an organization that for years, since about 1972, has been listing Christian organizations, Christian people, conservatives, been listing them on a major, major list that the federal government, through the Obama administration and the Biden administration, used the list of the Southern Poverty Law Center out of Birmingham, Alabama, to be the list that they would go by to persecute and to prosecute Christians, conservatives, patriots, and they were put on the list called homophobic, haters, white supremacist, Christian nationalist, discriminatory names, simply because of those people, those companies, those organizations were taking a stand for Christ. Now, we're talking about these things today because some of these things may not have stopped and parked on your front door. And so multitudes of Christians think, well, it hadn't happened to me, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. And I'm thankful that with the Southern Poverty Law Center, the federal government's just filed a federal indictment of 11 charges, and now just recently they've done a supercharge with additional charges against them. And it's my prayer that that will come to fruition and put them out of business. We'll talk about that in depth today. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. As we look at the Word of God, God's Word, Jesus speaking to his disciples, said to them, if you continue my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty good period of time, ladies and gentlemen. Truth is elusive today. Truth is bifurcated today. Truth is colored today. Truth is multifaceted today. And as the youth of today, the younger generation, 18 to 35-year-old age group, headline says most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They bifurcate truth. They say it this way. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. I hammer that point each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. His dystopian novel entitled 1984 made a powerful statement. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's precisely what we see taking place in America today. And I go to a scary article. Major headline says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And it goes on to say that it is fashionable today for academia and has been for many years now to simply say that truth is relative or that truth is a matter of individual perception or just simply cultural mores or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century and theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and it's a powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen, listen to it carefully. Jan Hus says this. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And perhaps you say, well, it hasn't come to truth or death yet. Give it time. Based on my Bible, we're on the fast track for that. Based on the Word of God, as I understand it, in the last days and the closer we get to the time that the church is raptured out of this old world, we'll find that truth will be very elusive. In fact, in a major text in Luke 18, I believe it is. The Lord Jesus asked the question, I believe it's in the 8th verse, that when I return, will there be any faith on earth? And I parallel faith and truth in the same category based on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to understand where we are and what is taking place and the need to reverse courses in our nation before it's eternally too late. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 1111291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how do I find it? Glad you asked that question. You find at 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road intersection. You'll find on the campus of Tools for Time a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me go back and repeat a brief thought from a pre-monologue statement a little earlier in the show. It would be highly inflammable. It would be extremely discriminatory. It would be out of character for what would be called constitutional law today to allow signs to go up over bathrooms or restaurants or any places that cater to the public that would be discriminatory based on race, creed, or color. And yet we find today it's not unusual to find that that's happening in a mega way today. And I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful that we have witnessed what Tony Perkins and others simply describe, and I'll read the part of the article later, as a decline in the LGBTQ pride, I'm adding the word sodomite, movement. The month of June, for years now, has been viewed as Pride Month. Our wonderful mayor, Donna Deegan, is excited about the fact that it's Pride Month. With the lighting of the bridge and the having the sodomite parade in the city of Jacksonville, I don't know whether she's going to be the grand marshal this year or not, or who will be, but ladies and gentlemen, across the nation, when you have the blue cities, blue states, et cetera, you find the real excitement and spending of, in some cases, hundreds of thousands, and in a few cases, millions of dollars to celebrate Pride Month. What about celebrating Christian Month? Nuclear Family Month. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be done. But it would be bad enough if the discrimination against Christians and conservatives were simply something that was undercover, shrouded. That's bad enough. But when it's open, when it's on display, when it's promoted by the Marxist media, the Communist Democrat Party, many of our nation's largest corporations today are doing that. We witness today, ladies and gentlemen, year after year after year, of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda designated as Pride Month for June, where we see they're taking sides, if you will. I know that's simplistic. But they're taking sides in that that can be promoted, that can be hailed as being wonderful and embraced by the political leadership and by multitudes of corporate entities. But yet if Christians were to stand up and parade in the streets with Christian signs, loudspeaker bullhorns quoting God's word, be called Christian nationalist. Well, I've been called that. I wear that with a badge of pride. I love the scripture. I love the Lord. I'm a Christian without any equivocation. And I love America. I love the flag. I love the red, white, and blue. So I'm a Christian nationalist. But that's now a disparaging statement being made by multitudes of those on the left. those that embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, those that embrace everything that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Word of God, they call Christians discriminatory. They call Christians demeaning terms. I'm thankful to say, ladies and gentlemen, there's a good, good indication here. Governor Mike Braun, B-R-U-N, governor of Indiana, June 1st, this is what he said. Today, I proclaim June as Nuclear Family Month in Indiana. As a father of four, grandfather of seven, I've seen firsthand the impact that loving, committed families can have across multiple generations. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, this proclamation recognizes the important role of families and the role that families play in shaping the future of our state and of our nation. Indiana will continue supporting policies that strengthen families and help families for the next generation to thrive, end quote. I'd love to see that across the nation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thankful for the conservative nature that we are in the state of Florida. We've not seen a declaration like this, I don't believe, by our governor. That's not condemning or demeaning him. I just believe that conservative Christian governors need to do this across America. And it's my prayer that what happened with Mike Braun in Indiana and what has just been done by the governor of Tennessee and by legislation in Tennessee, that it needs to set the standard. Listen, this is a massive article. I've sliced out with yellow pen two or three paragraphs that I believe a careful reading of these paragraphs will give you an idea. I rejoice in the fact. Tennessee revives the nuclear family. That's the headline. Here's why it matters more than you think. By designating June 2026 as the Nuclear Family Month, Tennessee has publicly affirmed what scripture, what history, and social reality have all already confirmed. Strong marriages, present mothers and fathers, stable homes are essential to human flourishing in America's future. The family is not an accessory to civilization. It is one of civilization's foundations. That is why Tennessee's enactment of the House Joint Resolution 182 matters. As amended, H.J.R. 182 designates June as Nuclear Family Month and begins by affirming, listen to this, this is the resolution for the state of Tennessee. It affirms that the nuclear family, consisting of one husband, one wife, any biological, adopted, or foster children, is God's design for familial structure and has been the bedrock of all of society since the creation of the world, end quote. This article reads further. This is much more than a run-of-the-mill legislative action. It's a bold declaration of the values that reflects what we see as society believes about human flourishing and what produces the best outcome for both individuals and for our nation. It affirms the truth of marriage. It affirms that families are rooted not in the latest cultural trends, but in faith, responsibility, and the generational stability. Strong marriages lead to strong families, and strong families are the de facto bedrock of a healthy nation. God details His design for marriage and family very clearly in Genesis 2:18 and Genesis 2:24. If you simply want me to paraphrase that for you, God gives us one man, one woman, one lifetime, one commitment. God created man, God created woman, and God created them to have children that would be brought up in the fear and admonition of God. It is where God created Adam and Eve to come together and become one flesh. That is the sexual union in marriage and reproduce. And ladies and gentlemen, this article further says, our culture has long attempted to jettison God's design for humanity. The Pew Research Center reports that the United States now has the world's highest rate of children living with one parent and no other adults. At 23%, it's more than three times the global share of the 7%. So they say that marriage isn't necessary, and all that matters is that two or more people that love each other live together. Those sorts of ideas reject the truth stated in Genesis. God created one man, one woman to complement one another and to be one flesh in the union of marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a five-page article. I'll stop there with those three paragraphs. But simply put, we have the leadership in Tennessee through the House resolution, and we see the governor and the state of Indiana both making a declaration that June is the nuclear family month. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but it's a good start. It doesn't cover it all, but it's a good start. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Pray that you are.
Doing well. Actually, on June 8th, Ron DeSantis did declare a Faith and Family Month in Florida. And basically, he emphasized the importance of the biblical family unit and the role that fathers play. There's also several other states that have jumped on board as well with this. I think Alabama also, if I remember correctly, they also released something as well for this month for family. And Arkansas as well, with Sarah Huckabee as the governor.
Yes,
and
right.
Utah. They both basically said that the nuclear family and faith and family for June. So those articles are hard to come by because the mainstream media, if they are going to report it, they're going to report it in a negative light. They're not going to cover the topic extensively, and they're using it as a backhanded way to basically say that Christian nationalists are, well, we're no good. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, we're wretched, rotten reprobates. By the way, Jim, you're talking about the media not reporting it. I do tons of research online. I've historically used DuckDuckGo and not Google. My computer had a self-indulged update that cut my DuckDuckGo out and will not let me pull it up and put a pinning that on the board anymore. And so the research goes back to Google. And, of course, when it comes to Google research on this subject, it's almost null and void of having anything there. In fact, with the Google research, many things that we're talking about today on this broadcast, including what we're going to talk about as far as the football team or the baseball team in California and what they're trying to do to their pitchers now, two of the pitchers at least, in Padres, as a result of wearing scripture verses, you find very, very little of that being stated when it comes to Google. Google is almost shutting out anything, still shutting out, still monitoring, still using an algorithm to shut down, in my opinion, anything that's called conservative Christian or anything that would be patriotic, anything that would be pro-Donald J. Trump. I'm highly incensed by that. But let me run this by you. You're probably familiar with it. Headline, this is from Todd Starnes. Christians push back against Major League Baseball attacks. Major League Baseball is warning Christian players not to write a Bible verse on their mandatory pride-themed uniforms and baseball caps. The warning has garnered significant blowback across the nation from Christians and Republican lawmakers. It goes on to talk about the history. A history teacher, Franklin Road Christian Schools in Tennessee, weighed in after the MLB, that's the Major League, reported warning San Francisco Giant pitcher who added scripture references to his special rainbow-themed cap during his team's Pride Night at the Oracle Park. Quote, I'll touch on this and then put it in your hands. I think that it's pretty interesting to see what's happening in Major League Baseball right now. This man told Starnes, this Christian teacher, history teacher from Tennessee, it's interesting to me that the religion of the LGBTQ movement is being pushed, propagated over the religion that built America, and that is Christianity alone. The Giants pitcher, last name Roper, R-O-U-P-P, Rope, wrote Genesis 9, 12 through 16 on his Pride Night cap as a reference to the rainbow, which is the sign of God's covenant with Noah. Other giant pitchers reportedly wrote Bible verses on their caps as well, while another pitcher wore a standard team cap. Here's my question. It's a large article. Here's my question, Jim. What's wrong with that? Did the players do something wrong? Did they break a rule or regulation? Is it something that should cause them to be punished and publicly demeaned and demanded to pay a fine or retire from the team? What are your thoughts on it? What should Christians that's listening today hear as a takeaway?
Well, it's a subtle form of suppression. I've read extensively on MLB, and what they're claiming is we don't have a problem with the biblical scripture. What we have a problem with is you're not wearing your uniform correctly. It's an alteration of the uniform, which they say is in their league rules. They're not going to fine the players, but they've strongly recommended they don't do it again. To me, it's a very subtle form of, we're going to go by the rules, but we're going to say it's not because we disagree with you, but them's the rules, so follow them.
Yeah, let me drop this in and get your take on it then, Jim. That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying it's not a matter of it being scripture, not a matter of it being Bible verses. However, it is. Josh Hawley has already grilled the baseball commissioner over the anti-Christian discrimination. Here's part of that article. Let me get this straight. Teams can host Pride Night. Players can wear Bible verses as another issue. When the San Francisco Giant pitcher wrote a Bible verse on his team mandated LGBTQ promotional hat cap. It was a reminder to the homosexual community and to others that the Bible records how the rainbow is a symbol of God's promise not to destroy the earth by a flood again. And it goes further, and I'll not go through the other portions of that, but simply this. The baseball commissioner said it was just wasn't a matter of the verses, as you said. It was a matter of going against the rules and the regulations for the standard, for the caps, and the for the outfits. Listen to what is being said in this dialogue with Senator Hawley and the baseball commissioner. You must answer for what appears to be a pattern of discrimination with the MLB against baseball players who profess the Christian faith. He cited the rules barring writing messages on baseball caps. He says this does not survive a cursory review of your history. He cited the agenda in 2020. The baseball league, the MLB, allowed uniforms and giant billboards with their political messages that included Black Lives Matter. During the time when there was a push about Palestine must survive, you allowed that on your uniforms and in the billboards in your arena. But now you can't have a Bible verse.
Kneeling.
Pardon? And don't
forget the kneeling during the American anthem.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it doesn't cut cut mustard at all when they talk about and try to say that it's not a matter of the Bible verse. It is a de facto matter of the Bible verse, and it is a de facto in-your-face open discrimination, just as about a century ago or less, where there were signs up that says no colored allowed, whites only, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same stigma. It's the same approach, and yet it is against Christians if we stand for our faith. So, Jim, the takeaway to me and the answer to me, the big flag waving in my face is stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as Christians. Don't sit down, don't hide in the corner, and do not be afraid to speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim, thank you, brother, for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation. Christians and conservatives not allowed. Should we obey that sign? And yes, that sign is being waved very prominently in several categories, as we'll talk about further in the broadcast. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
It's Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W272-CQ, Jackson.